Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. Round of applause. Yay! Thanks. And joining me today is the author H.P. Munro, who has so far fired off three hugely successful lesbian fiction novels, Graceful, Stars Collide even, and Silver Wings. Both Graceful's and Stars Collide have hit the number one spot in the lesbian fiction charts in both the US and the UK, and Silver Wings won a Golden Crown Award for Best Historical Fiction Novel this year, which is far and beyond the highest accolade in the world of lesbian fiction. So well done you.
Thank you.
Hurrah for you. So how are you, HP?
Very, very well, actually. I have to apologise to listeners if you hear some drilling in the background. I'm not in a dental surgery. I have some work going on at the moment, shall we say.
Oh, how exciting. Can you tell us a bit more about that their work?
I am creating a little love nest for me and my muse, hopefully. So my study is being fitted out to actually make it comfortable to work in, first and foremost. So
right, and you're hoping...
Very exciting.
And you're hoping to embrace the muse, right?
I'm hoping to at least be on talking terms with her. That would be lovely.
is she normally a willing participant?
Usually, but she's been ever elusive in recent months. So it will be I'm hoping I can entice her back by just creating a nice environment. So we shall see.
Beautiful. Every muse loves a bit of, you know, made to measure woodwork. So I'm sure it's going to work. An absolute treat. So this episode, as well as talking about you and your fantabulous writing, we're also going to be covering fan fiction. So you publish your first stuff as fan fiction. Now, I am a fan fiction thicko. I don't know anything about it. I've never read anything. So tell me a bit about what exactly is fan fiction and how did you discover it?
I was a bit like you. I knew nothing about it until I kind of did.
Okay.
The reason I got into it, as you know, we both can share obsessions for TV programmes, Nashville being obviously our main one at
love,
the moment.
Love Nashville, love it. When is Series 3 happening? When is it happening?
It's on just now in the US.
So. Oh, right, okay.
Soon. Aside from that,
back to fan fiction.
It's my combination of falling in love with TV programmes and my distaste for surprises. I hate surprises. I'm okay if I don't know I'm going to be surprised. But if I know there's a surprise coming, then I'm terrible because I need to know what it is.
Okay.
So I had started looking for spoilers off-season on a TV programme, and from that stumbled into the dark and murky world of a fan forum. And
So what was the TV show you were looking for?
At that particular time, it was Grey's Anatomy.
Okay, right.
So I was all about the calzona.
Aren't we all?
I'd started going on to forums looking for spoilers and just seeing what was happening in the off-season, if there's any. They tend to publish, or somebody gets hold of the sides for when they're looking for people to come in to the show.
Yeah.
So it's the casting sides and stuff like that. And you can sometimes sort of garner some ideas out of what's happening in the show from looking at those, or they can lead you a merry dance and down a completely different path. But it was whilst I was looking at this sort of information, every now and again someone would publish a story. And I guess it was a combination of missing the show and having nothing to read at the time.
Right.
That I sort of thought I opened one up and started to read. And it wasn't until I started reading, you know, the story that I realised that other people had done this. I'd been doing this in my head for years.
Why?
So if I had been watching the TV, I do it with books, I do it with TV programs, I do it with films. If I didn't like what had happened or where it ended, then I would carry on in my head or I would rewrite it. And I kind of realised that I stumbled in this world where people did that, but actually wrote it down for other people.
Yeah. And so was the stuff for Grey's Anatomy, was it quite steamy? Were they taking it down all different the routes you might imagine?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes where you didn't want to go. So there was a combination of, you would see, so there are different ways in which fan fiction can be written. So you can either go something called canon, which is where pretty much they stick to the story that you see on screen, but they may give you sort of scenes that you don't get to see.
Okay.
Or, you know, so they may be, you know, obviously you can take it further, so they can do, you know, adult things.
Does it come up, this is 18 rated?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you have to rate your writing.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you can, people will either take them down the same route the TV show's going, but show bits that the TV is missed out. And with the likes of a lot of the relationships that you get on TV, there are often a lot of it's told off screen.
Yeah.
And you're left to make the assumption that they've had a conversation about something. So they would do that.
So it's like filling in the gaps.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's how I got started, and I started reading those, thinking that I quite liked that. It was quite nice. It felt like it was filling in the gap for me whilst the show was off air. And then the next version is where you stay with in the realms of the TV show, but you create your own storyline. So you sort of you detract off from where the story is going on the show. And I kind of then started reading those. So it's sort of, that first one, it was almost like going through the back of the wardrobe and stumbling into Narnia and going, oh my God, this entire world is there.
Yeah.
And from that,
I'm going to have to check it out now.
It just sort of kept going and kept going. And then the sort of last part of fan fiction is where I kind of fell into, which was something called AU, which is alternate universe. And that's where you basically take the characters of the show, but you take them wherever the hell you want to take them.
Right.
So you put them into scenario, situation, eras, anything really that you want to do with them. You just keep the characters and play with them a bit, basically.
Yeah. So did you take characters from Grey's Anatomy when you were first doing it? Or?
I did, yeah. So it was quite a nice way to get into doing writing, because you start off with those characters, and what I would then start to do was weave my own characters into stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it was often interesting, because you would get people saying that they actually liked the characters that had nothing to do with the show, but they just came into being because I needed a character and there wasn't one like that in the show.
So did you concentrate on Arizona and
So the stories were centred around Cali and Arizona,
right?
With subsidiary characters coming in and out depending on what I was writing and what I was doing with them.
So it's like, was it like a it was like an L Word episode of Grey's Anatomy with them as the leads?
And then sort of, like I said, I very rarely wrote in the show. I think I've only done it a couple of times.
Right.
The rest of it was just taking them into worlds in my imagination and wherever the fancy took me, really.
Okay, and then when you started doing that, did you get people starting to follow you?
Yeah, so there are a couple of sites, so you can do them through the sort of fan forums, but there's also fanfiction.net. And that is Narnia, basically. So that site hosts every bit of fan fiction pretty much that anybody's written,
and you can go on there for any TV show
pretty much. If
who
you can come
knew?
Up with a couple,
who knew this
I
was
bet
there?
Someone has written a fan fiction story about them. You know, it's almost that there's not an original idea in your head, because you go, I wonder if, oh no, that's been done. Even to the point of there were some fantastic ones done where there was crossover shows as well. So you get Cali in Arizona meeting up with Rizzoli and Isles,
right?
Kinda, and that sort of thing. You get these crossovers and all manner of things happening. So it's as big and as broad as anyone's imagination can be.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's. I wonder if that'd be like Scott and Bailey teaming up with Cagney and Lacey, wouldn't it? Something like that.
Maybe that's the fan fan fiction.
That's the one I'm going to write. Yes, I'm going to do that. Time travel. So you said there was fanfiction.net. Is that's a key one if people want to know more about it and maybe take it up themselves.
Absolutely. That would be the way to go. There's lots of support on there in terms of how to approach if you're doing it and so on and so forth. And you can see what other people have written and how they've done it and the structures and so on.
Yeah.
And it is a nice way to, if you've never written anything before, and you're feeling that way inclined, to give it a go, because there's a couple of reasons why I kind of liked it. Firstly being, it lets you see whether you have a voice or not.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it gives you that kind of a little bit of the confidence to do it, to sort of dip a toe in.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it with characters that are already established, so sometimes that's harder, because what you have to do is try and capture the essence of the character and get beyond it just being, you know, somebody with brown hair.
You don't have the writer's style guide, so you have to get inside their head yourself and be confident enough to know
and
them.
Sort of pick up on quirks and mannerisms and sort of attitudes and behaviours that seem true to that character.
So did you find yourself going back to Grays and sort of studying Cali and Arizona more, or did you know them anyway?
I think my obsession earlier probably put me in good stead. You sort of, there are things, and it becomes very strange when you read quite a lot of fan fiction, because there are things that become just standard fan fiction fare, which have never ever been sort of done on the TV show, but suddenly everybody has it. So one of the things that used to always appear in fan fiction was that Arizona was a terrible cook.
Right.
Don't know why. I think it was just because she offered sandwiches at some point to Kelly. But it was always kind of trotted out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting.
And then you get the character cooking on the show and you're like, damn it. She's not meant to do that.
Did they not read it?
Yeah, obviously they haven't been following the fan fiction.
And do you know of any stories of anybody who's done the fan fiction route and then been taken on by the show?
I don't. I know that a lot of shows are kind of almost banned from reading fan fiction.
Oh, right.
Because they don't want to be unduly influenced or have anybody go, hang on. And it's a very odd one, because I don't think you can necessarily have somebody go, hang on, that was my story, and then go, yeah, but it's our characters. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
There's that whole kind of loop.
Because I was just thinking, it's a bit like the world of video games, isn't it? Or computers, where people do mods for games, and then quite often they're then taken on, or the mods are bought by a computer company. I just wondered, but yeah, maybe they will when they run out of ideas
have to go. Potentially, I would love, you know, if they're ever looking for anyone, obviously. Then
you could write for
Grays,
yeah. you could tell them, don't write them out, because that's what they're threatening, isn't it, with Cali and Arizona, so. Apparently, that's what I read somewhere. Yeah, sorry.
Interview over.
And do you still write fan fiction? Or?
I haven't. I did one story, I think, last year, just because the muse took me. But no, I haven't written anything for a while. So
mm-hmm. Maybe she'll be back when you get your desk done.
Perhaps. Perhaps I'll be in a fan fiction frenzy.
So how did you make the leap from fan fiction to published novelist? How did that come about?
So I'd been doing it for a little while, and it's terrible, but I'd been doing it on the quiet, I guess, for no other reason. I kept it secret.
It was your furtive secret, yeah.
Partly, I was travelling a lot at the time with work, and it just became a kind of hobby, keep me occupied, and for me to feel like I had a bit of work-life balance, because I was away from home, I was in hotels, or I was in the airports very early in the morning and late at night and on flights. So just to feel like, rather than just doing work all the time, it felt like I was doing something for me, and therefore, I could pretend that I had a work-life balance. But I didn't tell anybody I was doing it, and also I think there's a bit of a, not a stigma, but there is an almost a, there's a bit of a geekiness attached to it that... Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like going, hello.
Yeah, because
I fan fiction.
Yeah, I guess I always think it's attached to science fiction or, you know, zine or something like that, whereas I didn't realise it was covering all aspects.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think there's a very strong link between Xena fan fiction and lesbian fiction, because there are an awful lot of lesbian writers. Some of the sort of stalwarts in the genre came from fan fiction and uber Xena fan fiction.
Okay.
It was all kind of before my time. I didn't get into fan fiction until only 2010 when I stumbled across it, so I didn't know anything about the Xena stuff and so on, but I know that both of us are big fans of Playing the Role of Herself, and that started life as a Xena fan fiction.
Oh really? Oh, I didn't know that. There you go. You see, I've never you are full of great information. I have never seen an episode of Xena. How awful is that? I've never read any Xena fan fiction, so I wouldn't know.
I have to admit, I've only ever seen a couple of episodes of Xena. I wasn't really big into it.
Yeah.
So that's probably why I didn't stumble across the fan fiction at the time. But I do know that sometimes actually, and I think this is the hardest part of making that leap and using the same content that you've used in fan fiction into an original story. If you've done it in an EU, you know, if you've done it in an alternate universe, and pretty much all you've used are the characters' names and descriptions and some of the characteristics, then it becomes slightly easier for you to transition that into a new book.
Yeah.
I think when you've got certain character types, it can often be harder, I guess, and more as a reader. If you're reading a book, sometimes you can kind of read it and go, I wonder if this started life as, just from some of the descriptions and so on and so forth. I think that's quite a hard thing to do, and to do well is to disguise its original origin.
Right.
As much as we can.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I've managed that sufficiently or not. I'm sure people will be happy to tell me, but...
You did for me. I had no idea, so until I read it somewhere that you said that, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. I've no idea what that is, but, you know, yeah. So, and you're self-published, as am I. Tell me a bit about how do you find that?
I think... I am more of a control freak than I ever thought I would ever admit to, if I'm absolutely honest. So I think the self-publishing works for me quite well, because I don't have anyone really to... Well, I do have people to answer to, but in terms of readers, but I guess it works for me because I don't need to get into a fight with anyone about going, that character needs to do this, or that character needs to be called this, or you must have something submitted or by this date, and so on and so forth. And I think, I guess that works for me in some ways, in some ways it doesn't, and that's why I've been writing my latest book for the last year.
but you were quite prolific with your first three, weren't you?
I was, yeah. And I think this is, again, it's part of, and I was saying that there's a couple of reasons why fan fiction is a good way to get into it. The other thing that's really good about it is you write in episodes. So you don't publish, you know, a full story. You write it in, just, you know, sort of 2,000 words, or, you know, so it's in little chunks of it. So it's almost like a chapter at a time.
Like a chapter, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is a really great way of doing it, because it sort of harks back to how writing was first published. So if you look at, like, and I'm not in by any way comparing myself here, but if you look at the likes of Dickens, then his books, or his stories, were published initially in papers, in, you know, in a sequel or a series.
Yeah.
And I know that Jade Winters is doing something at the moment.
Jade is publishing chapter by chapter, isn't she?
Yeah, and it's great because it gives you, first of all, you're only writing in small chunks, so it moves along at a pace because of that, and also you're getting almost encouragement after every chapter. So you write a chapter and people are going, yay, and you're going, excellent, I'll write another one. Whereas when you're trying to write a book, you know, the only person after you write 2,000 words and going, yay, is probably you.
Yeah.
Going, now you can have a cup of coffee.
Yeah, that's why I put on Twitter, you know, when I've done 2,000 words, yay, I've done 2,000 words. And you normally get somebody going, well done. I go, thanks.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just you. And,
or it's me going,
not yet.
Stop telling me to write 2,000 words when I'm not.
And when did you publish your first book?
So Silver Wings went out last October.
Last October, so you've done three in just over in under a year.
Yeah. But they were all written beforehand.
Yeah.
over not too dissimilar a period, actually, I was quite, because I was traveling a lot, but the stories just sort of seemed to come flying out of me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back now and with fond memories, and that's what it felt like.
Oh dear!
Oh, damn it!
You'll come. Yeah. It'll all come back. It'll all come back. Yeah,
it will come back.
Definitely.
Once my wood is in.
Yeah. Once you've got that magic desk, the magic
absolutely
will start flowing. Yeah. And your novels, Grace Falls and Stars Collide, both set in America with American protagonists. But you live
yes
in Edinburgh. Have you ever lived in the US, or is this just your imagination?
Bit of imagination. I haven't lived long term in the US. I visit quite a lot. So in the last few years, I've spent a number of weeks of my sort of annual leave travelling around in
mm-hmm
various parts of America, or staying in various bits. We do house swaps.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you watch the film The Holiday.
I was going to say, it's like The Holiday. That's one of my favourite films.
That's the first
films
thing people say. Like,
yeah.
The Holiday. I haven't swapped with Cameron Diaz.
You haven't? That must be a constant disappointment to you.
It is. It's, yeah, you know, never mind your house, what do you look like?
Yeah. I don't
so,
know, I wouldn't
yeah
mind the house as well. You know, it looked pretty nice, that house.
Yeah, so we've done a couple of house swaps. So I've spent, three weeks living in Manhattan, which was great. So, yeah, we've spent quite a bit of time travelling around and staying around in different places. So,
mm-hmm,
ironically, not in the places where the books are set.
No, yeah. you're just being contrary now, aren't you?
Yeah. I think I sort of, yeah.
So are you going to set a future novel in say, New York, as you have had experience of Manhattan?
The one that I'm writing is partially set in Manhattan.
Right.
Before it, so the book I'm writing at the moment is a follow-up to Grace Falls.
Right, okay.
Although it's not, it's a follow-up, but it's not. It's two different characters who were mentioned in Grace Falls, referred to in Grace Falls.
Yeah.
But it's back in that strange little cookie town.
Mm-hmm.
In Alabama. So,
mm-hmm,
but part of the book is set in Manhattan.
Right, okay. So, and where's your next plan to go to a US city?
I will be going to drive from San Francisco down to LA
mm-hmm
in Easter time.
Oh, right, so pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
And have you been to either of those two before?
Been to both before, actually.
Okay.
But not done the drive down, so looking forward to that.
So you would have used a bit of that in Stars Collide, right?
A little bit of it was used, yeah. A little knowledge of LA, my bare knowledge of LA was used in Stars Collide. And actually, one of the place that they go for lunch or for breakfast on Jordan's birthday.
Okay, I'm casting my mind back, yeah.
It is a real place. I've called it something different in the book, but it is actually a real place. And
okay,
if you ever go, the nachos are fantastic.
Okay. If I ever go back, I shall get some reference points from you, for sure. Yeah. And of your three books, which one is closest to your heart?
That's kind of like asking a parent which your favourite child is.
I know, and that's why I do that to parents
horrible
all the time. Yeah. Come on, you must have a favourite.
And you know they probably do, but they don't want to admit it. it's really hard, I think. I like them all for different reasons and at different times.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
So I kind of have a real soft spot for Silver Wings.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because it won the award, mainly because it won the award. but I think because it was the first one I decided to put. All three were pre-written, but that was the one I decided to go with first. And I think just the subject matter of it and the amount of research that I did.
It's about the it's set in World War II and about the, is it the RAF?
The WASP.
WASPs.
So
that's
the,
right.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
So it's the American kind of version of the Women's Air Force.
Yes.
So it's a Women's Auxiliary Service Pilots.
Mm-hmm.
So they would know it. I think they just liked the name WASP and made up the
it's pretty good
acronym to,
yeah,
to suit it. Yeah. so yeah, there was a lot of research and love went into that to kind of craft it and make sure that it was as accurate as I could possibly get it. And
mm.
I think I'm a big sucker for stories that. Where you follow someone through their lifespan,
mm-hmm.
And although that you know this story doesn't necessarily do that, but you do see them as you know in as older ladies, as well as in their sort of prime, in their early 20s. And there's just something about that kind of thing. So a lot of people, quite lovely, have said that it reminds them a bit of A League of Their Own. That's the Madonna film, not the Sky comedy panel show about sports.
Yeah.
Because that would be strange.
That would be odd, yes. No. And also, of course, it won the Golden Crown Award, so you can now say forevermore that you are the award-winning writer, H.P. Munro.
I introduced myself that way.
I hope you do, even to your baker and stuff, yeah.
No, I'm like an award-winning thank you.
Okay, if you're not going to say a favourite, do your readers have a favourite? Which one's got the most reviews on Amazon? Let's put it that way.
Put that way, combined with the US and UK, Silver Wings, actually.
There you go.
Has had more reviews, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. It's the joint favourite.
It's the joint favourite, but the one that hasn't sold quite as many, ironically.
Oh, really?
So, it's my least popular in terms of sales.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think I feel sort of, I feel kind of drawn to it. It sort of feels like the little, the underdog.
You're
but it's a little fighter.
Yeah,
and it gets under your skin if you need to, it gets in there. So, come on.
Yes. But, there's still time. There's still time for it to come up, on the rails. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's rally.
And your covers, I know you said before, have depict people who are about to kiss. Is that right? Do you do them yourself? Is that all part of the self-publishing process?
The kissing or no? Yes, I do.
Do you do kissing yourself as well?
I
do you take pictures of you and your wife just about to kiss?
No, they are models. I do. Again, that's part of the control freakiness that I didn't realise I had.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I kind of like the sort of prelude to kiss almost. There's that anticipation. They're usually a combined image with something to do with the book as well. And the for Grace Falls, actually, the waterfall that was in there is one of my own photographs that I'd taken while travelling around Canada.
Okay.
So when I was on holiday earlier this year, I started taking photographs of big rocks, much to the consternation of my wife, going, "What on earth are you doing?" And I had to explain that I knew at that point that Return to Grace Falls, there's quite a big rock,
pivotal role
in the relationship. So I've been taking pictures of big rocks for my next cover, even though I've not finished the book and I've not planned what the cover is, but I'm taking pictures of big rocks.
Was she running up to the rocks going, "Take a picture of me in front of the rock," and you're going,
"Get out of the way!"
So we can expect to see...
Over a bit.
Perfect. So the next book, we can expect to see two people nearly kissing and a big rock with Jane on the end of it. Is that
pretty
right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Jane kind of half cut off. What are you doing?
Well, we'll look...
Over here.
Well, I'm going to look forward to that myself. A rocky kiss. And that's going to be the follow-on kind of standalone story from Grace Falls, right?
Yeah.
And when you don't know when that's coming out, how far through it are you?
About 55,000 words.
Ooh, nearly there.
Over the hump.
Giddy up! We can get that done by what? February, March.
Yeah.
High five.
once the desk is in, there's no stopping me.
Absolutely not. No. And you also submitted a story to the new UK charity anthology, L is Four, which hit the number one spot in the UK anthologies on Amazon over the weekend. Woohoo! Yeah. And I contributed a story too. Are you a fan of short stories?
I have to admit, not massively.
So, how did you find writing one for this anthology?
I did not enjoy the process.
No?
I think, as you well know, it started off at not a short story and ended up having to be chopped down until it sort of hit the word count.
Yeah.
I think I like them if I'm in the mood for them. I think that's probably...
Yeah.
It's not that I have it's not I completely don't like them. I think I have to be in the mood for something short and snappy and not wanting the long lead-in or the in-depth sort of exploration of someone's psyche and so on and so forth.
So I
think it was a hard one to do for me, though. I find it very tough to be concise.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting point, because we were talking about it. We did a reading from Ellie's Four in London Bar recently, and somebody was asking four of us, four of the writers, did we find it easy? And I think some people don't. And I'm somebody who, a bit like you, like short stories sometimes, but not others. But weirdly, I quite enjoyed writing the one for this one and the one for Unwrap These Presents, which is the other anthology. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I think they can almost sometimes be a bit of a muse booster.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, I know I've read, and I think coming back to the fan fiction, I know that there are some lesbian authors who, when they're maybe going through a bit of a slump, will go back and they'll write something for fan fiction, because it kind of gets the juices going, and you get that kind of pat on the back from people almost.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sort of similar to that with a short story. Sometimes it is short and snappy and just gets your brain into gear and engaged in that kind of way.
Yeah.
I wish that has happened for me, but it didn't quite.
But your short story was based in Edinburgh, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Are you thinking of setting any of your future books in Edinburgh, or are you going to stick to the US?
No, I am very much thinking of setting one in Edinburgh. In fact, after Return to Grace Falls, there is another book that is kind of, there's about it has about 60,000 words outline to it at the moment. So that's quite scary that my next book but one has an outline that has more words in the book that I'm actually writing.
You've actually written a 60,000 word outline.
Yeah, it's kind
Goodness
of
gracious.
The story's there. It's just needing a bit more brushing up and tarting, basically.
I think your muse is well intact. Don't you worry.
it'll happen eventually. So there's Return to Grace Falls, then there's that one, and then there is one set in Edinburgh, and there's about a chapter and a half written of that already.
Goodness. Yeah, you see, you're well ahead of the game. I do one book at a time. I'm on my book three now, so. And what was the last lesfic book you read?
The Fall by Robin Alexander.
Okay. Was it good?
It was, actually. I don't know if you've read any Robin Alexander,
no.
But she's very, very funny author, very rich humour in her books.
I'll have to check her out.
That's one of the reasons why when I see one of hers come out, I go, yes, get very excited. Because it's a bit of a nightmare when you're sort of lying in bed chuckling and trying not to wake your wife, you're chuckling so much.
So the next question is, what's your most annoying habit? Would Jane say the chuckling in bed? Is that what she's saying?
Possibly, actually, but more probably the reading in bed. With a light, not the light on, but she's having like a little glowworm.
Yeah.
My phone.
Do you find that you drop it and then it smacks you on the nose?
I've done that on occasion.
Yeah.
Very painful.
Yeah.
Very painful.
And then you wake her up, and then she hits you. Yeah. That's just me.
Yeah.
And which words or phrases do you most overuse in your life?
Probably sweary words. And gin and tonic.
Gin and tonic, that's always a good word to overuse, I
think. I find it takes me in many places.
Yeah.
Not usually allowed back, but it takes me many places.
No, my one for that is, I'll have another martini, and then I'm escorted out of the bar. And the final question, if you could be the love child of any two writers, alive or dead, who would you choose?
Christopher Brookmyre would be one. So he's a Scottish author, and he writes sort of thrilly type, kind of satirical comedy, dark comedy, sort of one where you chuckle and you go, I shouldn't really laugh at that, but I'm chuckling anyway. I've had people move away from me in buses whilst I've been reading his books because I've been laughing manically.
It's the chuckling thing again.
It's the chuckling thing. It's terrible. Yeah, so him definitely, because I think his sense of humour is fantastic. And I think I'd probably go for Agatha Christie.
Okay,
one from the left field.
That is, but classic.
But classic.
An oldie but a goodie.
Yeah,
And you've gone for the traditional man and woman as your parents, which is, you know, it's novel, but
yeah,
hey,
it's,
if it works.
Yeah, who knew how that works? Well, she is dead, so that technically would make it a very bizarre relationship. So
yeah. It's fiction, you know, we can
it
do what
is,
we like, yeah.
Yeah.
Not even fan fiction. Well, thank you very much, HP. You've been a absolute star. Give yourself a round of applause. Thank you for
I'm
being.
I'm actually holding my tablet with my hand.
Oh, okay.
I'll give myself a one hand.
Tap your tablet. Yeah.
Slap in the forehead. How's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, there you go. Do that.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. You've been brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Au revoir.
Bye bye.
So that's the end of this lesbian book club, and this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. Remember, if you fancy dipping into any of my books, London Calling or The Long Weekend, you can find out more at www.clairelydon.co.uk or just look me up on Amazon. Toodle pip.